This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Our world today is filled with a lot of questionable characters. From leaders of nations, representing millions of people, to the common Joe and everyday woman walking the streets of any major city, the question about who do you trust is becoming a troubling concern for many of us today. Parents don't trust their kids. And the children, well, they don't trust their parents. Suspicion is high in the degree of concerns we contend with in our lives. Who do you trust? Is it government? Big corporations? Perhaps it's Wall Street? Or how about our money? Or maybe it's the police? Perhaps it's simply the guy next door? Why is it becoming so difficult to trust those we deal with? Well, stay with us as we explore this dilemma on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings again to the Armor of God telecast. We broadcast internationally, and we're grateful for your viewing of the program and responding to our request to secure the free material that we offer. We are here to serve you in any way we can. Which leads me to a question: who do you trust? That was the title of a television program, if you will recall. Those of you who are of my age, you will recall that Johnny Carson hosted that program along with his sidekick, Ed McMahon, that's right. And that was prior to his going into the hosting of The Tonight Show. But who do you trust? Who do you trust? It's a setup, really, when you ask that of someone, because we tend to think of trusting certain people. They are trustworthy. There are some of us who trust our politician, but we don't trust anybody else's politician. There are those of us who trust our business people, but we don't trust your business people, you see. There are those who trust certain religious figures, but there are other ones we don't trust. And then in our society, we pick and choose who we trust. My question to you goes far deeper than human beings. Who do you trust? Well, just think about it for a moment. On the dollar bill, which you have an image of on your screen, there are some words printed on the back side of this presentation, and it says, "In God we trust." I find that interesting because it was not always on our money, but now it's on our paper money and it's on our coins, and we declare to the world that it's God we trust in. Is that true? Is that a fact of the matter? As we are recording this program, we are going through a horrific time in the Gulf. And I believe that if this program were to air years from now, we would still be in a problem in the Gulf, because it's still in the wake of the Valdez oil spill 20 years afterwards. They're still doing cleanup work on that particular deal, and it was far less of a tragic circumstance than we're presently facing in the Gulf. Who do we trust? I haven't heard any prayers yet offered from the public arena of turning to God in this immense tragedy. And there are many tragedies that arise, but I'm reminded of Abraham Lincoln back during the war between the states, as is known in the South, and the Civil War, if you were a Northerner, where he declared the importance of praying to God to help preserve a nation. That's quaint. But going even further back, before we were ever the United States of America, and I'm mindful that this program is aired around the world, and because of internet access, you can secure the viewing of this program wherever you may live, and you may not live in the United States. But I'm including you in this discussion because you can assess whether or not in your community, in the society in which you live, if these principles are not true. The society in which we live is going to hell, as it were, in a handbasket, wherever that is. It's falling apart at the seams, whether it's Europe with the Greek financial debacle and the euro in disarray and all the conditions you find there, with China owning so much of the American debt, and we are beholden not only to China but to Japan and to Britain and other places that buy up our debt. Let's see, that debt is ranging around $12 trillion. I believe that's the figure. That's I can only count to about $100, you know. That's as far as I can get. But $12 trillion, I can't even begin to fathom what that means. But that's part of the business cycle in which we find ourselves. Before we continue with the program, I want to suggest that you do this. Make sure you jot down this number. It's a toll-free number. Or you can visit us on our website and order the free material that we're offering in today's program. America the Beautiful, that's the title of, the title is America the Forgetful. See, I forgot. So easy to do. America the Forgetful. What a thought. And a CD entitled, In Whom Do You Trust? In Whom Do You Trust? Well, on our money, it says, we trust God. But is that true? Let's take a quick, cursory look at some of the situations we find in our society today. In politics, there's a lot of flag waving going on about the fact that we are a Judeo-Christian derivative. We have combined the Hebrew Bible, some commonly known as the Old Testament, with the New Testament, where Christianity emerges, and we tend to call it Judeo-Christian. Well, if that be true, the Jews in Congress and in politics, as well as the Christians in politics, should be working in harmony together for the avowed purpose of advancing the purpose of this nation. And what could that possibly be? Well, it was a man named John Winthrop back in the 1600s, the 17th century, early 17th century. He became the first governor of the first colony in the states entitled Massachusetts. That was 1607 when 1607 was when Virginia became the first colony, and the second colony was Massachusetts around 1609. But in 1620, when the Mayflower came to this country, there was a compact, a contract, if you will, that was entered into by those people on that vessel to come to a land that was declared to ultimately be a light set on a hill, a shining example to the rest of the world. That's how John Winthrop saw it. And you know, Ronald Reagan used that quotation often in his presentations concerning the place in the world of the American or the citizens of the United States. In politics, it seems to have evaporated from our thinking. We do a lot of browbeating about religiosity and the right and the left and all those kinds of things, but when we closely examine, we find disparities on both sides of the political spectrum. People who allege that they live by the standard of God, in fact, elevate it and attack individuals who are obviously flawed when it comes to character. And lo and behold, weeks, years later, we find that the same accusers, in fact, had skeletons in the closet. How can we say we trust God and don't obey him? Well, let's go to the scripture here and find a passage that relates to this subject today. Who do you trust? Or, as we say in our on our money, if I put it in the question form, in whom do we trust? In God? Well, Deuteronomy 28 declares the following. And it shall come to pass, we're in verse 1, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do all his commandments, Which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations on the earth. Oh, really? Well, here we are, a people that declare that we are atop the world of nations, that we are at the apex. We are at the crowning peak of this pyramid, if you will. And there is no nation like us. We are the riches. We are the most able-bodied military unit. We have wealth untold. Everyone should then bow to us because we are the light of the world. We are set on a hill. But politically, we have some issues. Not only politically, but business-wise, we have issues. Have you been taken by anybody in the business world lately? Oh, it doesn't have to be a Bernie Madoff. It doesn't have to be that spectacular. The scripture in the Hebrew Bible talks about unjust weights and measures, that there should not be present in our society these kinds of things. In other words, if I declare that I'm selling this to you for a dollar, it should be for a dollar. You should not have an add-on, a luxury tax added, and other kinds of hidden devices to make more money off of me, as many entities are doing, whether it's the airlines, whether it's the medical profession, whether it's colleges, it doesn't really matter where it is, whether it's on Wall Street or your street. The fact of the matter is that there are many of us who declare by our conduct that we are liars because we cheat in business. We will sell you something that is old and ready to be thrown out, but we will take meat and paint it with some red dye to give the appearance of being wholesome and ready to go. But you get that steak home or that beef product home and cut into it, and it's dark on the inside because you have been slipped a Mickey by those who claim to be Judeo-Christian. Religion. Well, that's an interesting mix all by itself. You have so many religious people on so many ends of the spectrum, if you will. But they're individuals. I think of one preacher, won't call him by name, who declared that adultery and fornication and homosexuality is just wrong, wrong, wrong. And yet we find that he is escorting a homosexual gentleman around with him, and he lost his ministry as a result. Now, as we are taping this, I understand he's about to revive a ministry in order to deal with people in his circumstance to find a place to go to address the problems that individuals have. And then in our society, this society that is supposed to be God-centered and God-driven, well, I have trouble watching movies anymore, trouble watching society's presentation, popular culture, listening to music and so forth, because so much of it contains just aberrations and so vile of references to the point that they have to bleep them out on radio, but you can get the unadulterated version at the store that has a marker on it declaring that, you know, this is for adults only, because we've lost all contact with what it means to be living in a blessed society with the impetus that God is going to use us as lights in the world to show the rest of the world how they must live with the God of the universe. That God says in Deuteronomy, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. What blessings are those? They haven't been listed yet, but check this out. They're about to be enumerated. Verse 3, blessed or happy shall you be in the city. Now, I got to tell you, I can stand there and pause there for a long time. You see, I live in the city of Detroit. And Detroit has been examined recently by media as we're recording this program, taking a look at its circumstance. This was once the crown jewel of the states, Motor City, the motor capital of the world. And we know that they've gone through some hard times recently, but what you don't know is that the suppliers who supply them and the employees who have been laid off, whose houses are in foreclosure, have an impact on the city to where it is not a happy place to be. Grass gone uncut, laying off of police officers and firemen, people who are necessary for the survival of a society, are being shunted aside because money is running out and individuals are not really committed to the safety of the community. So how in the world can somebody who lives in Detroit, Houston, New York City, Chicago, and LA declare that they are blessed living in the city? As you go around, people are being robbed, mugged, broken into. I was listening yesterday to a program where the enumeration of the break-ins and thievery multiple times, to where ultimately the person who lived on the block where the break-ins were being done, in fact, they were perpetrating the break-ins, and the police couldn't do anything about it. Didn't do anything about it because they have so much on their plates. Happy in the city? What about in the field? That's the next thing. Blessed shall you be in the field, out in the farming community, where we have tornadoes coming through, ripping up the land continuously. Just as we are recording this program in the state of Michigan, tornadoes came through recently in a city called Dundee, ripping it apart. When we go out to the tornado alley of Kansas and Missouri and Nebraska, around in that area, we see constant reports of that, and let alone the hurricane circumstances that come to our southern coast. Not only are we not blessed in the city, or are we not blessed in the field, it says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. We've got the abortion issue out there still lurking. We've got children who are born and not wanted, children who are kidnapped and killed and destroyed, or the worst is to have those children sacrificed on the altar of convenience. Plop them in front of the TV, give them a Mickey D meal, which is not going to nourish them in any kind of way, let alone destroy their minds from the television stuff that they're watching or the popular society in which they view things. This is going on continuously to where the blessings are not there for us in the field, in the city, the womb, the fruit of our bodies. What else are we not blessed in? And the fruit of the ground. I can't remember the last time I tasted a good-tasting tomato. Why? Because, I don't know, it's just not quite tasty like I remember from my youth. Anybody can identify with me about that? Things that used to taste so good, you could guarantee that that watermelon was going to be sweet, but no, you take it home and it's not sweet any longer. Why is that? Are we being cursed for a reason in this society? Is the light of America being dimmed? And as a result of that, it affects the entirety of the world. So many people in the world look to America as an example, as an authority, as the light on the hill to show how it to be done. In fact, we draw people to us who want to come to this country to advance themselves, to educate themselves, to advance in wealth for themselves so they in turn can bless their families back home from where they've come. The scripture says, and the fruit of your cattle, good beef, yes, of your kind, flocks of your sheep. Well, I don't know if it's all that good anymore because we have a problem. We have E. coli. We have, let's see, what else we've got? We've got swine flu. I'm not a pig eater, but, you know, some of us do. And right now, as we record this program in the Gulf, we have some issues arising whereby fishing industry is being destroyed. Is that some signal from God that your desire to eat things that I told you not to eat? Well, I'm sending a message to you. That's a side that we haven't talked about or not understood in this circumstance of what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. But as we read through these passages, we identify things that God says would be a blessing. Blessed shall you be in your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. See, how long have we been in Iraq and Afghanistan? Longer than any previous war in which we fought. Wow. I guess we're not blessed that way. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you in your storehouse. And if you sit your hand or set your hand unto it, he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. We claim that America was given to us by God, sanctioned by God, blessed of God, so that we would be blessed in every aspect of our lives, but we find ourselves being cursed. Is our light dimming? Is it going out? What is America's future? Where are we headed? What shall we discover? You know, in the society in which we live, just taking a look at the children that we have reared, and we think about having our children be a blessing to us. If you look at 2 Kings, the second chapter, there was an event that happened in the days of the prophet Elijah and Elisha. And I think I want to refer to this so that you can see what happens to children who are out of control. Let's see what we find here in 2 Kings, the second chapter, in verse 23. And he, the prophet, went up from thence into Bethel. And he was going up by the way, there came forth little children, or youths, out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head! And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tore 42 children of them. Wow, that's dramatic. That's spectacular. You mean to tell me that the prophet of God actually commissioned God to curse some children because they were out of control, out of the right mind, out of focus on how they should respect their elders? I see this all the time. In fact, I had to stop a young man who was rushing into a door recently. And in rushing into the door, I stopped him and said, Wait a minute. Can't you see I'm an older person? In fact, I was holding the door open for you. You didn't have to rush past me and almost knock me down. But it was just emblematic of the problem in our society where youth do not respect the elders. The elders have vanished into the woodwork because the society has proven to them to be unacceptable of them and their presence in the world. And as a result of it, we don't have the foundation, we don't have the focus, we don't have the notion that we can survive as a nation. Don't you wonder how long we can survive, debt-ridden as we are, society out of control, individuals only for themselves, waving the flag and talking about God, and yet we don't find God truly the one we trust in. We trust in our might, we trust in our money, we trust in our materialism, but we don't trust in the living God. Wouldn't it be a hoot for us to turn to God in a spectacular way? The kind of thing that happened in the 19th century with Abraham Lincoln, the kind of thing that happened in the 17th century with John Winthrop and other individuals who turned to God. Are we missing in action? Because we claim and verify by printing it on our money that it's in God we trust, and yet we trust in everything but. We trust in ourselves, we trust in our strength, we trust in our ability. And yet we are in a lurch betwixt and between in a society whereby we could declare we trust in God by turning to him in prayer, in fasting, in repentance. One of the purposes for the armor of God is to bring folk to repentance, to bring them to analyze themselves, to take a look, a close look in the mirror, as Michael Jackson sang one of his best pieces, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. What could be better than anyone turning to God and declaring, I need you, Lord. I want to trust in you. I want to depend upon you. Wouldn't it be a hoot as a nation that we would turn to God? I believe the Gulf could be cleaned up. I believe our political machinery could be cleansed up. Our business world would be better. We would live by the principles of the Bible that lead to blessings and not curses. My friends, take the time to call the toll-free number and secure the free material we're offering in today's program. America the Forgetful, in whom do we trust? They are absolutely free to you when you dial toll-free 1-888-578-8791. I want you to stay tuned now and listen to my colleague and come back for another viewing of the armor of God. My friends, trust in God, not yourselves.
You know, Bronson posed quite a question, didn't he? Who do you trust? With so much betrayal going on today, whether it's in politics or business or frankly even in families, moms, dads, and children betraying one another, that question is rather cogent, isn't it? Because frankly, there's so much lack of character and integrity. The Bible talks about how we should only trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 28 goes to that effect because it's very clear men and women will in fact disappoint us. Those of us here in the United States, frankly, we hear a lot about, well, we need to get back to the Constitution. Really? I mean, the Constitution, let's face it, is only so much paper and ink. One of our forefathers even said that the system, the Republic, the Constitution won't work unless it is participated in by a religious people. That's right. If it's not a religious people that are participating in it, guess what? You can game the system because the system demands honesty, truthfulness, transparency, integrity. All of these things are just so important if indeed the system is going to work. If the system is driven by greed and avarice and selfishness, guess what? It will fail. What we need, my friends, is national repentance. Won't you let us help you to better understand that perspective? Dial now, 888-578-8791. Let us help you to understand this by asking for these free offers, two presentations, 1 hour long, In Whom Do We Trust? And America the Forgetful. Both are free for the asking. And don't forget about that website, by the way, at www.cgi.org. There's far more additional items there at the website for your perusal and consideration. But dial that 888 number, 578-8791, and ask for those free offers. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
The Armor of God deals with the solutions to our broken world. New perspectives presented for your consideration by our commentators in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our